The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
By way of introduction, because of the decree from Caesar Augustus, who was one of the most powerful Caesars of his time, being known as Octavia before he became Caesar Augustus, the little sleepy town of Bethlehem had become a very popular and busy town. Joseph and Mary had left Nazareth, at least 70 miles north of Bethlehem, with a mountain range to cross 3 days earlier, and had travelled. Mary on the donkey and Joseph walking alongside. And Mary was 9 months pregnant. I believe there are four reasons why the innkeeper said there was no room for them in the inn. Firstly, it's too crowded. Secondly, it's too late. Third, it's too complicated. And fourthly, it's too common. I think you will all agree it gets crazy for us as well at this time of year. Each year, the preparations for Christmas seem to start earlier and earlier. Normally, somebody will write a letter to the editor of the Telegraph to say, "We're only in June, and mince pies have already appeared." The season of Advent becomes so hurried because of the way Christmas has been built up. So what is the answer? I believe we need to slow down. We need to count our blessings. We need to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. And we need to make the effort to spend time with our families. Too often we strive to cultivate the perfect Christmas instead of enjoying the experience of Christmas. These same excuses are used by many of us today. And we, dear friends, have an advantage over the innkeeper because we know whom he was turning away. So firstly, it's too crowded. It's too crowded in here. Could not one more bed have been found on a mat in a small corner? But we often say, it's too crowded in my life for Jesus. I haven't got time to go to church every Sunday, to pray or join a Bible study group, or read the Bible at least daily. But Jesus says, I am not going to clutter things up. I am going to simplify life. I'm going to simplify life for each and every one of you. The reason so many people today are stressed out is that we do so many things we were not intended to do. Secondly, it's too late. Everyone's in bed. And we say it's too late in life. I've made too many mistakes. But Jesus says to each and every one of us, it is never too late. For example, Abraham was an old man, but he became the father of a multitude, a new nation. Moses had retired, but God was still able to use him in the Exodus from Egypt. Jacob had cheated on his family, but God still blessed him. Jonah, well, we all know the story of Jonah. He ran away from God, but God still sent him on a mission. Elijah was tired and stressed, but God used him in a mighty way to restore the nation. And then into the New Testament, the character that was always an encouragement to me, Thomas. Doubting Thomas, as he was nicknamed. He doubted God. And he is, in a way, a warning to us when we miss a meeting. Because he missed a meeting. And as such, he did not see Christ after his resurrection. Peter cursed God, but God used him mightily. Paul persecuted God, and again, God used him. For all these characters, it was never too late. And please believe, it is not too late for you either. Thirdly, it's too complicated. The innkeeper probably said to his wife, "Not only do we have no room and it's very late, but have you noticed the woman's about to have a child? She's heavy with child. And babies make so much noise. And all the other problems. And are we covered by insurance if anything goes wrong?" I have noticed over the years that when things get complicated, that is when Jesus draws near. I think you probably all know footsteps in the sand, the double pair, except when life gets difficult. And when Jesus is asked, "Why did you desert me?" Jesus said, "I didn't desert you. I carried you." James says in chapter 4 of his short letter, verse 8, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." He comes alongside and reminds us that we need to review the situation. We need to slow down. Someone once said that every victory begins with an interruption. Fourthly, it's too common. And anyway, wife, they are just common people from up north. And I was going to add something to that, and I thought, better not. I got in trouble the last time I commented on the north. They're common people from up north, covered in dust and dirt. Did you notice their transport? A donkey. Now the question is, do you think Jesus is too common? The baby born in Bethlehem that first Christmas night was God. If Jesus was just a remarkable man, or a prophet, or a great teacher, then we will stumble here. We will have issues with the virgin birth. We will struggle with the idea of miracles. We will be unable to believe in the resurrection. And sadly, that is true of too many church leaders and bishops and so on and so forth. But if they had accepted that that little baby born in that stable was God, everything would have been clear. For once we believe and acknowledge that the baby born in Bethlehem was God, then that makes sense of everything we read in the Gospels. Remember that before he walked on water, he slept on straw. Before he did the spectacular, turning water into wine and feeding 5,000 with a boy's lunch, he was involved in the common day-to-day things. God became a man so that man could live with him. We shall all see him at God's right hand on high. We all have an appointment with him there. So, like at the beginning, we have to make a decision as to what we believe and why we believe. And please, please, please don't make the innkeeper's excuses in 2023. In Revelation 3:20, we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus is knocking on the door of your bedroom. He wants to be involved in your marriage. Jesus is knocking on the door of your kitchen. He wants to be involved in the day-to-day running of our lives, your lives. Jesus is knocking on your sitting room door, on your committee room door. He wants to be part and parcel of it. I tried to find the, in a way, rules of when I signed articles all those years ago, because I kept it for years and years and years. Point by point, 10 commandments of being an accountant. And each one just stressed the fact that whatever we did, Jesus was there looking over our right shoulder. You could push him aside. But if you wanted to do well, you needed to remember that he was there, keeping an eye on what you were doing and ready to put out that hand of friendship. But most importantly, he is knocking on the door of your heart. Please don't leave here this morning without inviting him in, inviting him into your heart. Just going to read you some words from the first letter of John. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives.